You know, buying car batteries is a lot like buying a pair of jeans. You gotta make sure they fit just right. Whether you need a battery that's ruggedly dependable, equipped with more amp for accessories, or boasts the latest technology, AutoZone is your battery headquarters. And as for the jeans, just remember the golden rule. Too tight ain't right.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Blog Talk Radio. Now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, it's Plain Talk Radio, a talk show dedicated to promoting an appreciation and understanding of business aviation, hosted by Stuart Lapayoker. It's Plain Talk Radio.
One of the great adventures of all time.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Many years ago, the great British explorer George Mallory on Mount Everest was asked, why did he want to climb it? He said, because it is there. So the base is there. And we're going to climb it.
Welcome to Plain Talk Radio for Thursday, January 12th, 2012. I'm your host, Stuart Lapayoker, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale. Happy New Year. This is your first time listening. Welcome. We've had more than 2,000 listens to our archive since we began broadcasting the show. Thank you, and please continue to spread the word. We've got a great show for you today. Starting with this show, we'll be having a series of shows dedicated to aircraft acquisitions. You'll get a first-hand look at the basic process of deciding how to buy and whether to buy, and then acquiring an aircraft, maybe, because these shows are about our purchasing an aircraft. So instead of being a buyer's lawyer, I'm the client, and you'll have to decide whether I have a fool for a client. We'll see. This first show is about our considering the purchase of an aircraft, and we'll cover such topics as the appropriate aircraft for the mission, different alternatives, budget considerations, and several tax considerations. The next show on January 25th will cover the market overview, seeing what's out there and visiting sellers and dealers. On February 6th, we'll be talking about offers to purchase. And then on February 29th, a show you're not going to want to miss, we'll have my wife, Michelle, in the studio to give you a little insight into how my talk with her went and why no plane, no gains, public relations job is so hard. Check the show page for postings of the remainder of the shows, including the show on March 15th regarding pre-purchase inspections, and then on March 31st, a special Saturday night show from 7 to 8 when we'll discuss closing on the purchase, maybe. Joining me is my good friend Dave Linnemeyer of Linnemeyer Aviation Advisors, based here in South Florida, and Mike Nichols from NBAA. Be sure to enter the chat room on your screen or give us a call with your questions or comments using the numbers you see on your screen or our toll-free number, 877-511-1032, or if you've registered at Blog Talk Radio, you can click to talk or Skype us. You can add us to your iTunes from the Blog Talk Radio, Plain Talk Radio page, and follow the show schedule using some widgets on the page that will drop the show onto Outlook. If you have a new product or service that serves the business aviation community and would like to be interviewed, drop us a note at airplaneguy@plaintalkradio.com. If you take a look at the show page, we've got a couple of ads there for Air Ledger and TripSpeed, two new products that I was involved in developing. There's the usual disclaimer that you can hear on our archive shows. Although the show may touch upon legal, tax, or regulatory issues, nothing contained in the broadcast should be relied upon as legal advice appropriate to your situation, which can only be given by your own counsel. Opinions that you hear of our guests represent their personal views and not necessarily those of the organizations which they are, with which they are affiliated, or Plain Talk Radio. February 9th and 10th, 2012, in Delray Beach, is the 2012 Aircraft Registration Conference, organized by the National Business Aviation Association. Co-chairs are Michael Malfitano of Bank of America and Frank Polk of McAfee and Taft. There are distinguished panelists, many you might recognize. Conference is a must for anyone involved in business aviation, be they owners, attorneys, accountants, or brokers. Plain Talk Radio is pleased to be one of the sponsors. Go to nbaa.org for additional information and sign-up forms. Enough of that. Let's get to the good stuff. Dave and Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stuart. Dave, let's just start with you. We've known each other a long time. Your experience is with large corporate aircraft. Not only do you help people buy and sell, but for many years you were chief pilot flying and director of aviation, flying Gulfstreams and Boeing business jets, among others. What's the process, the basic process that you go through when you meet with a customer who wants to purchase an airplane?
Well, when you do that, Stuart, if it's a first-time airplane buyer, deal with them a little different than somebody that has operated airplanes, deciding upgrades or downgrades, whatever, to follow economic times, mission requirements, or maybe logistical airport requirements, or whatever the needs are. Is one application, but a first-time buyer, you really have to be careful that they understand the whole process of ownership. It's like owning a boat, owning a home or a business. There's a lot of things that between wanting one and really justifying and understand all the dynamics that go with ownership. So You try to guide them in. There's always the budget. Number one is we only have X to spend, and then this is what we want to do, and this is how we want to do it. And then from there, you try to choose or guide them to the aircraft that could fit their mission for the majority of the time, so that you don't buy a G550 to do one trip to Europe a year, or conversely, you don't buy a small, medium-sized jet and have it in Europe every other week. So it's a process. You meet them, you get to know them, and then you try to give them the advice and aim them towards what your experience tells you where they should go, and then you listen to them.
I think, you know, we've all had the experience of a client or a customer that wants it, but hasn't necessarily focused on some of the key ingredients of deciding that this is the right aircraft for them. For example, so I think what you're saying is, you know, you need to make sure, or the customer needs to make sure, that they understand not only the cost, but you know why they're buying the airplane. And what their mission requirements are.
You know, you're right. It's sometimes I meet people that, for whatever reason, gets an opportunity to buy an airplane, and then their first airplane, and then they start trying to make the airplane make sense for them. And you know, their buddy's got a G5 or whatever. And maybe their company A can't support it, and B maybe it's totally the wrong airplane, you know. So it really, the emotion, especially with an individual, it gets to be an emotional decision, a personal decision, and you know, with our the airlines today, not to pick on the airlines, but having the flexibility and to be able to have the ability to go where you want to go, when you want to go, gets to be pretty exciting. So it's a fun process, but there's a lot between the thought of I want an airplane and the real world of owning it and operating it. And, you know, as you and I have talked several times, in your desire to have an airplane because of the issues you faced with your travel and everything else, it's an adventure.
I think, well, first of all, there's a very good resource on the NBAA website called the NBAA Management Guide, which not only talks about management but also talks about, you know, the kind of feasibility study that large companies or any company should do to figure out whether they do need an airplane, and if so, you know, how do they go about doing it. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about our mission, or my mission, and why I was thinking about buying an airplane. And once we get to the budget considerations, we'll see that we're not talking about a jet, but the issues are the same, whether it's a large aircraft or a small airplane, a piston airplane. So, I mean, I think the reason why I wanted to do it was, you know, I wanted to be able to have more face-to-face interaction with our clients and with our contacts. I wanted to kind of limit the out-of-touch time that you have in airports. And, you know, I had another reason that was, you know, sort of consistent with our business, which was, you know, to have the experience and to better understand our clients' point of view when it comes to being an aircraft owner. And obviously, I won't be understanding with respect to owning a jet. But in terms of the fact that I spend majority of my time assisting clients with, you know, legal aspects of buying and selling corporate aircraft, you know, I wanted to see everything from the other side and have the experience of owning and, you know, participating in the management of a business aircraft. So, I mean, so I have sort of two missions. One was a utility mission, and the other was more of an experiential mission, you know, putting myself out there so that I could understand what goes on a daily basis with our clients from an operational perspective. So I guess, Dave, we started talking about, you know, where are we going to go? And I think, you know, we're here in South Florida, and we're basically going to be, you know, visiting clients or contacts in the Florida area. Unfortunately, Florida is a state that you can't get out of fairly easily unless you go over to Nassau. But we'd be visiting clients. We'd be visiting, you know, our contacts, our business associates. We'd probably be doing that a few times a year, you know, swinging up a little more northeast to have an efficient meetings with our clients in the northeast. So in terms of our range, I don't think we're looking for international, and we're looking for national right now, but I think we can put in that column, we're looking for something that can, you know, get us out of the state and to where we need to go with, let's say, a couple of fuel stops. Is that about, that sum it up pretty accurately?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, in that same regard is having an aircraft that has the capability of flying IFR, flying at night, that and have the comfort that comfort level for safety that you've expressed in many of our conversations. And, you know, there's been a lot of dialogue between myself and Stuart as it pertains to what happens after the airplane closes, because as an attorney, when your airplane closes and you get your closing binder and you get all the details taken care of, you're on to the next deal. And in this case, we've had several conversations as where do we want to go, how often do we want to buy gas, how many people do we need to carry, how much luggage, what would within our budget, what would make us the happiest, maybe not the fastest airplane, or maybe not the biggest airplane, but not the smallest airplane, but for our use and for our means, the conversation always goes to a group of airplanes and which one is the best, and the answer always comes up with one airplane is good in some areas but not as good as others, and making the decision of where to spend your money and then how to utilize that aircraft efficiently.
I think I'll tell you that, and I know we talked about, well, how many passengers. Probably we will on average carry 3 or 4 but need capacity for 6, including crew, including the pilot. I'll tell you that at least at the individual level, no matter how much factually we talked about it, there was still an emotional component to doing it, to learning what my clients were doing, to there is something innately emotional about aircraft, and that's the one thing I learned in going through the process. And you know, let's go to the next thing. I think, you know, being in Florida, you know, we wanted to make sure from a safety perspective, if we were flying over water, we would be comfortable with that. And so we talked a little bit about single engine. We talked about, you know, a twin. We talked about, you know, from a safety perspective, not to say that single engine pistons aren't reliable, absolutely. And I know you have had experience with obviously flying jets, but even before that, you've got, you know, several thousand hours in piston aircraft. So where did we get to on that aspect?
Well, you're right. The first 5,000 hours of my career was back when jets were really a very early. You can't get old and fly jets all your life. But having flown the twin Cessnas, the Beechcrafts, the King Airs, the Pipers, Cessna 310s, and all that stuff, and the single engine airplanes, we really looked at Stuart, a lot of things, and the fact that in one of your segments you're going to talk with your wife and talk about her take on aircraft and what her comfort level is, and really. To show that, you know, you're making rational decisions, that you've thought about it, you've thought it through, you know that when you own it, you need to have pilots, you need to have hangars, you need to have all the things that, as a non-owner, but just a aviation lawyer, things that you really, rather than leases, you never got involved in. And so, you know, we've spent a lot of times over a lot of lunches thinking we were going in the right direction, and then after getting deeper into it, which happens a lot of times, you go, well, yeah, but I don't like that, or I don't like this, or it costs too much, or it doesn't go fast enough, or, you know, there's just so many considerations that, and you've got to recognize the fact when you get done, it's a compromise, and that you really have thought it through. You're comfortable with your decision when you get there, and that you can then move ahead and to the next process of how to put an airplane down to operation and the surprises that occur with that and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't care if you're General Motors, that's a poor example, but a Fortune 100 company or a private four- or five-man privately held company, the decision process is very similar. That I don't care if you're the chairman of a Fortune 100 company, the emotion gets there. They get extremely emotional. They talk to their friends. They talk to people that don't advise them right. And that's where the MBA and the management guides and all the things that you got to keep purchasers grounded and focused on what their needs are, what they can afford, and what they can really utilize. And that's the challenges.
Hey, Mike?
Yes, sir.
So how are we doing so far?
I think you guys are doing great. You touched on some really key topics, and I hear from a lot of folks as they're about to buy an airplane, whether it's a first-time acquisition or they're adding aircraft or replacing something that they've been flying for years. And one of the things that I think is really important for folks to understand, and you both have touched on this, is what is the mission for the aircraft? Not just where are you going, what airports are you operating to, how often, who's on board, but also what's the real reason that you have the aircraft. And it's great that you've already thought through some of that, Stuart, and I think what you might find is that there are more ways that you'll use the aircraft over time as you become accustomed to integrating the aircraft into your business operations.
Mm-hmm.
Some of what we hear from our members is that it provides a competitive edge in serving their customers. They get out to multiple destinations quickly and efficiently. As you said, you want to minimize the amount of time that you're spending out of touch at airports, and we hear from folks who are using business aviation all the time that they're able to turn that travel time into productive work time. And they have scheduling flexibility. If something comes up on a moment's notice, they can change the destination of the airplane, or they can stay longer if they need to. Also, people with companies often can't move equipment that belongs to their company from place to place on the airlines or easily in automobiles, but they can do that in their business airplane. So that's a big reason why folks use airplanes. So I can just see you with your legal documents going from client to client. You wouldn't want anyone to see that. And also teams of employees traveling, you know, is a really big reason why folks will use business aviation. They can have meetings en route, prep for the client meeting, that sort of thing. And of course, you know, we talk about this often in business aviation. The airlines serve a very important purpose, and NBA member companies buy, you know, north of $10 billion a year in airline tickets for employee travel. But yet they also operate business aircraft because they can efficiently fly to and from locations that have limited or no airline service. Business aircraft, typical business aircraft can serve over 5,000 communities versus about 500 airports that are served by the airlines. So all of that is part of the reason for the aircraft, the mission profile, and very important, the consideration and acquisition of the aircraft. Dave talked about budget, and one of, not to put too fine of a point on it at this stage, but one one of the things that we hear about is how much airplane can you afford?
Mm-hmm.
There are really at least two things you want to think about, not just the purchase price of the aircraft, the acquisition cost,
mm-hmm.
but also the operational cost, which I think
mm-hmm.
is a real important consideration. I could probably afford, if I robbed my 401k plan and maybe got a couple friends together, I could afford a G2,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I could afford to hire a pilot or insure it or
mm-hmm.
Anything of that nature. So I think this is a great conversation, and I don't know if you know, but you know I'm a current aircraft owner, but this is my second airplane. Both were single-engine piston airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
First one was a Grumman Tiger, and now I have a Cessna 172 share.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, the next thing I was going to go to was really some of the alternatives we thought about. And I must say, when you express things that you're thinking about doing to your friends, you know, sometimes your friends really step up. And I had one friend of mine in the industry who just said, you know what, don't buy an airplane. If you need to go somewhere, you just use mine. You can dry lease it, pay for a pilot, and go ahead and take it. Don't worry about it. And that was really a very generous offer, and I'll remember that for a long time. The other alternatives, you could dry lease an airplane from time to time. Maybe you're gonna lease an airplane that you're familiar with. Maybe you're gonna lease an airplane or different airplanes from time to time that you're not familiar with, and those have, I think, different issues in terms of familiarity with maintenance and that sort of thing. But the main decision that people make when they're going to buy an airplane, I think, is, are we going to buy new or are we going to buy pre-owned? And I think that what we're talking about is, we're not talking about jets. We're talking about probably a plane that has the capacity for six passengers and crew together. It's got to carry, decent amount of payload. And we've got, we're going to have some overwater operations occasionally. And, so we're probably, I think, Dave, we're probably in the piston area. And more likely than not, it's a twin and not a single, with single engine. That's probably where we'd be.
Yeah.
And I think, go ahead.
I think, again, with all the conversations we've had so far and everything, Stuart, we've kind of went both ways. We've looked at new and sexy single engines, and
We did. And by the way, great, crazy, beautiful airplanes. I mean, the aircraft that are out there that are new, that are single engine, tend to have glass cockpits. They tend to have every kind of avionics you can imagine. In fact, I remember you saying to me, "Gee, we didn't even have that in the Boeing, in the BBJ." Or that would have cost X millions of dollars in a BBJ. So we really, what we saw of new aircraft, new single-engine aircraft, were just extraordinary safety systems, extraordinary avionics systems. Obviously, the Cirrus has a parachute, which is unique. Let's go to the budget a little bit and talk about that, and that'll drive us into whether we're going new or pre-owned. Like any business, we need to stay within our budget. I'm sure there were things that I really, really would have liked, but we got to stay real. My objective with respect to budget was, as I tell my wife when we go car shopping and the dealer says, "Well, how much you want to pay for that?" And my response usually is, "I want to pay a dollar. That's what I want to pay. I want to pay as little as I can. But I want to have reliability. I want to fulfill the mission. I want a reliable airplane. I want, obviously, a purchase price that if we're going to spend it, we're not going to have to modify it or modify the airplane or improve it. I mean, it's going to be turnkey. That's the idea. I don't want too many problems anytime soon. And at the same time, in terms of what the operating cost is, I want to have a fairly modest annual operating cost, hourly operating cost. And I want to make sure that if we're going to buy it, we're going to buy it right, and we're going to be able to it'll hold its value. So where are we there? Are we at new or used or pre-owned, as we say, in the biz?
I think we're, again, all the conversations that we've had, Stuart, we've looked at the new prices, and they're very, very pricey. You relate them to the example that of the G2, you can buy for there's G2s for less than $1 million, and your operating budget, if you flew the airplane, would probably be $2 million. So it's the same thing with the used versus new. You can buy a lot of airplane You can buy twins for not a lot of money, but when you work the equation backwards and say, I want an airplane that has low-time engines or fresh overhauled engines, I want the avionics to be up to date with the times, so that in the lighter airplanes, Garmin is a big producer of avionics. And then you look at the paint, the interior, how many hours on the airplane, and you get done, and it pretty much, the exercise takes you back to what I know what I can spend. I've got a comfort level that I can spend so much an hour for or an annual budget, and I can spend so much for the actual purchase of the aircraft. And then you set out to look at some different models of airplane, and then from that we're going to zero in on a certain model airplane, and then there's going to be in this day and age, there's a tremendous amount of airplanes for sale, and in that process, I've done it many times. You find out that a lot of them are high time. The people have fallen on hard times. The maintenance is not up to your standards. You can't buy low time. If an airplane's got 10,000 hours, there's no way to make it 2,000 hours. If the engines are close to being run out and they got 300 hours left, what's the value there? Because the first thing you're going to do is going to overhaul these engines, and you don't know anything about them. So there's a tremendous amount of considerations once you've even zeroed in on the type of airplane or the brand of airplane that we're potentially going to buy. So,
but are we going to? Let me ask you this: are we going to? The criteria that we laid out, okay, is that airplane? Did we think that airplane existed when we were having our discussions? I mean, let's not talk about the ones we actually went to see, but I mean, our criteria were pretty tight. I mean, it had to be, you know, it had to not need a lot of maintenance. It needed to not need to be modified. It needed to be priced right. It needed to have the right avionics package. It needed to have basically be a turnkey aircraft. Had to have the right number, you know, have the right number, capacity, payload, et cetera. I mean, I'm not sure I was all that convinced that we were gonna find that airplane. And I guess my question for you is, when you're working with a customer who's a little bit antsy, do you get a little frustrated with when they start, you know, going out on their own and making phone calls and doing that sort of thing? I didn't do that. I was good. I think I was well behaved.
You've been good so far.
Okay. But I mean, is that something that to a great extent, they kind of start creating their own little market for themselves?
Absolutely, because you're exactly right, Stuart. And you've seen that with your customers when they're doing they're talking to you about they're going to go out and they're going to buy an airplane, and pretty soon everybody's calling them, and like you said, you know, they talk to all their friends talk to all their friends, and all of a sudden you've got 100 people looking to buy a G5, for example, and the reality is it's really one. I had a good friend years ago that I was buying G1s for him. Great guy, but no patience. And finally I had to set him down, and his name was Jim, and I said, Jim, there's no reason to have me, because you are creating your own market. I'm getting calls from people identifying you as their customer, and you hired me to represent you. So when you're buying an aircraft, you got to have patience. You got to have expertise, whether it's in the legal side, the technical side, the market side. And you got to listen to reason, and you got to, again, patience. If you're not patient in this market, you're going to end up either getting the wrong airplane or you're going to pay too much.
Yep. I mean, yeah. the other yeah. thing is, you know, these days, at least in 2011, the government was giving accelerated depreciation for equipment that was purchased and placed into service in 2011. And that made some people a little bit more inclined to buy more than they could, to buy more than they otherwise would, because they would, they would get a significant tax benefit. So, I mean, that plays into it a lot, and I think both of us have seen, and Mike, you've probably seen, you know, the customers or members who, you know, they might bite off more than they can chew because they see it as giving them a tax break in the short run, but in the long run, they have an aircraft that's very expensive to maintain and very expensive to run. I don't think we got into that discussion. I think I wasn't really inclined to do that. And to me, I mean, a lot of it is I do look at the absolute number, and you know, just the new aircraft were sort of out of my budget at least. The other thing is, I mean, for pre-owned aircraft, I mean, we did think about this. I mean, either you're going to depreciate the airplane over 5 years if you're using it in your business. It's actually 6 years. Or there is a 179 deduction up to $500,000 that you can take for equipment used in the business. So that was in place in 2011. And as long as you... you know, of course, you have to keep your eye on the disallowances that can be applied if you're going to use the airplane for entertainment. I think we weren't planning to have a great deal of non-business use, so I don't think that played into it a great deal. You have to look at it from all sides. It's not just how much you spend, but you always say to me, it's not how much you spend. It's not how much it costs. It's how much it costs.
Exactly. You know, and the thing that happened, Stuart, in our conversations, I was always concerned because we are friends, and the euphoria of going out and buying airplanes. I love buying airplanes. That's what I do, and I get excited. And when your office is right here in the aviation mecca, and you stand at your window on the phone looking at airplanes taxiing by, it's hard to keep you contained, but the always one of the concerns is that if somebody overbuys, their next thing they're going to have to do is sell that airplane at some point in time when they recognize that they're overextended or whatever, and that's always something that you always worry about when you're advising people about buying airplanes. And you got to make sure that, we see the housing industry today where the eyes were bigger than the stomachs, and this happens in our industry. And I'm always cautioning people, it's easier to buy bigger and more expensive than it is to buy something and, God forbid, have to get out of the aircraft at a low point in the market. Airplanes are like the stock market. Their values go up, and there's we can all recall where there's times the Gulfstream's got in all the manufacturers have got big backlogs, and then there's times they've got airplanes sitting on the ramp. And a lot of people, because their businesses are doing so good, go out and buy big airplanes. They see the first downturn, the first thing that they can look to reduce their exposure is to sell their airplane. There was a reason they bought the airplane. It's because of the flexibility, the safety, all the things helps create their business. If the decisions were more in line with their needs and what they really truly can afford, then their first thing they do with the airplane is go out and create more business, which I've been with Fortune 100 companies, and when our flying increased when the economy was slow, because we promoted our business, tried to get more market share and that kind of stuff. And in your business, the same thing applies, is you got to be able to own the airplane through the good and the slow times, and not be the first month that maybe the billings are down or something, not be walking out to your hangar looking at your airplane thinking, well, I got to get rid of this so that I don't have a hangar bill, or I don't have a insurance payment or whatever. So it's something you, it requires a lot of thought, a lot of planning, and it's hard to, but you got to keep emotion out of it.
Well, you know, there was another thing that came into play, and again, I did this. I wanted the experience from the owner's / buyer side, and you know, I got it. I mean, as a transactional lawyer, I like getting deals done. That's what I do every day, and you know, you can easily get caught up in, you know, okay, we can do that. We can get the deal done. We can do let's do an offer to purchase. Let's do the title search. Let's go find. I mean, there's, you know, clearly there's a, you know, once you start going down the road, you go to things that you have experience with. And, you know, I'm sure owners or, you know, owners that don't do what I do are the same way. They know what they know. They don't know what they don't know. No question about that. That's why you and I were working together on the project, because, you know, I don't broker aircraft, and I don't search for aircraft for clients.
And you don't operate airplanes.
And I don't operate. And you know, we'll talk about a little bit about that later. Mike, okay, grade number two. How we doing?
I think you guys are doing outstanding. You're covering all the right points. And, you know, getting back to the issue of making mistakes, I think the worst that I ever heard was somebody knew somebody else from country club or church or something like that, and that guy had a certain make and model of aircraft, so they thought, well, if it's good enough for them, it must be good enough for their company. And that was probably one of the worst ways of buying an aircraft, because they didn't have a clue about the mission requirements, things of that nature, which is why we work hard to put out best practices in aircraft acquisition type issues that start with the aircraft feasibility study, as you indicated, that's part of the NBA management guide, and then also a host of resources that look at the tax implications, regulatory planning, structures, who's going to be operating the aircraft, and one really needs to buy an aircraft in this marketplace especially, but really any time, with consulting with tax advisors, lawyers who are familiar with various structures, et cetera. It's easy to make mistakes and find oneself running afoul of FAA rules and/or not taking advantage of the most effective tax planning that they could on a state and federal level. So having folks like you and folks like Dave as part of the process is really critical.
I'll tell you, in the end, you know, we all want, you want happy members. I want happy clients. Dave wants happy customers. And there have been times when a client has come through and said, you know, I'm buying this airplane. And they're a little bit shocked when I say, well, why? What else have you looked at? What, you know, just make the shoes, will you? And I think, you know, it's important that people have, that people make the educated guess, the educated decision. Some of it's guessing, but most of it, you can get the data that you need. You can get the data in terms of operating costs. You can, a lot of the services out there, Conklin and Decker, other services have operating costs of aircraft, even like the piston twins that we might be looking at. And you can make an educated guess, an educated decision on what you're doing. And sure, things happen, but, you know, that you can't count on everything. What are we going to look for? I think on our next episode, we're going to talk to you about what we're going to look for. We're not going to tell you on this episode. So stay tuned for the next episode of of Plane Talk Radio, where we talk about what aircraft we finally resolved to look for, and the market survey we came up with, and the things that we saw when we went to sea. And I want to thank everyone for tuning into this broadcast. Hope you found it enjoyable. Remember, the show can be accessed at a later date or shared from the webpage. I want to thank my guests, David Linnemeyer, Mike Nichols of NBAA, and, of course, I'd like to thank David Shannon, our producer. Check out the 2012 Aircraft Registration Conference in Delray Beach on February 9th and 10th, 2012. If you have a new product or service that serves the business aviation community, drop us a note at airplaneguy@planetalkradio.com. Our next show, January 25th at 7 p.m., we'll be talking about the search for the piston twin. Not going to tell you what it is. Not yet. This is Stuart Lapiocre, the host of Plane Talk Radio. January 12, 2012, signing off for now. Just a reminder to give generously to Corporate Angel Network, the NBAA, and your local business aviation association. Don't take advice on the golf course about business aviation. And always close with a fizzle. We'll be sponsors this year on March 4th of the Debbie's Dream Foundation event at the Improv at the Hard Rock. Debbie's Dream Foundation is a charity that contributes money to research for stomach cancer, which is one of the rarest forms of forms of cancer that there is, and so there's not a lot of money to do research. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.